You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to chat about making art accessible for blind and partially sighted people now here on RNIB Connect Radio, as I'm joined by Priya Hirian, a British Indian contemporary artist who has an exhibition of her work on show at the Brick Lane Gallery in London from the 2nd to the 13th of July 2025, with audio descriptions of the work on display produced by Priya, inspired by her father's journey with blindness. Hello, Priya, and lovely to have you here with me on RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, we're going to talk, Priya, about how you have made your artwork accessible for your father and other blind and partially sighted people in a moment through the use of the recorded audio descriptions and a couple of different types of technology too. But before we do, tell me a little bit about how you got into art and a bit about the work that you produced, which I think has a very sort of contemporary style and feel to it.
Yeah, I'd love to. So art was never really part of the plan, if I'm honest. So I came from a maths and actuarial background, so very logical, kind of very structured, but I've always been creative underneath. I just didn't think it was the real career path, I guess, especially growing up with certain cultural expectations. But over time, especially dealing with some major life challenges and a little bit of anxiety, painting kind of became something that I turned to for comfort. So it wasn't just a hobby at this point. It's kind of how I started to express what I couldn't say. And whenever I kind of felt I was struggling in the moment, it's just kind of how this whole journey began. And a little bit about my work, I guess my work's quite bold, emotional, and quite often surreal. I like mixing raw emotion with abstract surrealism, I guess. So with my latest collection, things like resilience, identity, imperfections, and I guess how we kind of suppress emotions to kind of just function on a day-to-day basis. So out of one of my most personal collections is this Marked by Light, which was experienced with vitiligo. So once I got diagnosed with that, I kind of came to the realization of I can't just hide behind a mask anymore. Like before, I would not very much use social media. I wasn't very much kind of into taking photos or wanting to be out and socializing. I mean, to be honest, most of the time my social battery is pretty drained anyway, but I am getting better. But with this latest collection, it's kind of become a symbol of transformation, like how what society sees as a flaw can actually be something beautiful. And that's what I kind of want to share with the world now.
I think it's really interesting because I think that sort of probably relates to your father, who I think started to lose his sight about 20 years ago. And he was very much involved and still is in technology, but also a great supporter of your work too. Tell me a little bit about his journey in blindness and how he has found ways of using technology in many ways to carry on with his life.
Yeah, so I mean, this did start very close to home, like you mentioned. My dad is blind. It started with a condition called Stevens-Johnson syndrome when he was quite young. From that, he slowly, gradually lost his sight. And then at the age of 32, he had this life-altering operation on his eye called an OOKP, done by an Italian doctor. I think he was probably one of the first in the UK, if I'm right. And that gave him perfect vision in the one eye. It was enough for him to drive. He had 19 years of perfect sight. Then unfortunately, that eye gave in due to an infection, which we can't really moan about, if we're perfectly honest, as a family, because that life expectancy of that eye was 10 years and we got 19. So we were so blessed to even have just even one day, let alone the 19 years that we had. And then he tried the same operation on the other eye. Unfortunately, that didn't last as long as we expected. And it failed after the first year and a half, I think it was. So he has been one of my biggest supporters. He always has right from the get-go. And he's always been good at making sure we're well educated and well looked after. He's always done everything he can for us. And he had a computer business from the late 80s. Probably into the early 2000s, I think it was. And that was one of the largest computer companies in the UK at one point. And we always laugh to say that my dad was the brains, my mom was the eyes. So he would tell her how to create these computers, and then she would be physically making them. And then so he started supplying computers to like schools, hospitals, large companies. But obviously I was quite young at that time. But then when it kind of got into my artwork, it kind of hit me one day that, like, actually, you can't experience any of my work. Like, he'd seen my stuff as I was growing up, my stuff that I did at school, and he knew I had that artistic flair, as did his sister. So he was just like, okay, obviously runs in the family a bit. But he never really got to see my true potential, because I haven't really unlocked it or shown what I can do until more recently. Because I never really showed my work, not even to family or anyone. It just kind of stayed in my little art room. So that's where we kind of started discussing, well, how can we get you to be able to see and experience what I've actually created? And I wanted him to feel it the way others do. So we tried like them apps, like Be My Eyes, I think the app is. And it's, I mean, it's brilliant. He uses that on a day-to-day basis when he's got to find something, when he wants to use, I don't know, the microwave or the oven. He's great with the Meta glasses now. And the voiceover on the iPhone is brilliant. So he has loads of ways in general of getting about and doing his day-to-day jobs, obviously with the help of others most of the time. But what we realized is with art, that app doesn't really give you the true feeling and the true perspective of what you're seeing. And I guess that just comes with the nature of the art. If it was very realistic and it was portrait work, it could probably explain it extremely well. But when we tried using a number of the apps to take pictures of my work, it was getting the colors right and getting the general gist, but it wasn't really giving across everything that it kind of meant, because obviously it's trying to merge things that only unless you can see it would you really understand it. So I kind of wanted him to feel the way others do. So I started recording voiceovers myself. And then I thought, well, I don't want to just do dry descriptions, like how we hear the voiceover talking in the background. I thought, you know what, I want it to be a bit more immersive. I want to have the emotional audio behind it so we can get the full experience. And then I started adding in music. And it kind of took from there, really. I thought, well, actually, if Dad will enjoy it this way. And I played it to a few of my sighted friends and family who had come and seen a few pieces of my work. And they were like, actually, we really enjoy this. So it made me think, actually, even people who are sighted can enjoy it as well. So even though it started off with the audio description specifically for my father, I thought, why not try and make it immersive for everyone? So then I've started to do a version which is audio described with the music, but obviously it's a little bit more descriptive of the actual image and a little bit less of the emotion. And then I have a more emotional side which kind of depicts the feelings behind it, again with music. And I've got a sassy, cheeky version, and I've got a kind of emotional and quite deep version as well.
And I think you've used different types of technology for blind and partially sighted people and sighted people to listen to the recordings, to the audio descriptions in the gallery spaces. You've used QR codes, I think, and also I think in the gallery in Brick Lane, I think you might have an iPad in a fixed position for people to listen to the recordings. Tell me a little bit about the sort of, I suppose, those choices in different types of technology. And has your father made any suggestions on what technology might be best for it?
Yeah, I mean, right. Well, we started probably the beginning part was let's create some sort of braille. So we thought, okay, he's got the braille machine. We can maybe do the descriptions that you normally put at the bottom of each image. You tend to have like the name, the artist, the size, the price, etc. And we thought, well, we could put that in braille. And then as we started talking about it, we thought, well, realistically, that's not great because you can't have someone feeling against the walls in the gallery because they could, I don't know, touch an artwork piece or they could potentially break something. So we thought, okay. And then it's quite laborious. Like you can end up having these massive books of just braille and it can be quite intimidating and it takes away from the experience of what the person's actually there for. So we scrapped the idea of braille. Then I had a thought of being able to potentially create a textile version of the pieces, but because it's contemporary abstract surrealism, I guess, there was no way that a textile would be able to portray the actual image to someone without them being able to see it. So then we got onto the voiceovers and we thought about having a button somewhere on the side of the picture or somewhere on the side, and then a speaker. And then we thought, well, if there's other people around, or they then click on the next picture for the voiceover for that one, then too many voices, it could be disorientating to him. So we went with, okay, it needs to be done via headphones, via someone's phone, so then they can have their own experience. And most people nowadays, as they're roaming around, they have their AirPods or some form of headphones with their mobile phone. And I've noticed from what my father says is most of the blind community tend to go with iPhones because a voiceover is quite good. So I thought, okay, let's go along them lines. And he has used QR codes in the past. So I thought, okay, well, if he was to use something like the Be My Eyes or an app along that kind of wavelength, he could show the camera and it will pick up the QR code and it will take you to my website. And then on my website, I've got all the audios recorded, and all it is a simple click of a button. And I'm in the process of getting the website fully voiceover accessible. So I don't know if you've noticed, but my father always has issues with certain websites or certain apps never having the specific button labeled. So we'll go over it and it will be like button, button. And I'm like, that actually means back, or that one is the submit button. So I was like, okay, the website needs to be solely accessible for sure. So then when I had my previous gallery exhibit at Espacio Gallery a few weeks back, I realized that the QR codes were quite hard for some people. And I guess that's where the difference comes in generations as well. I guess I've grown up with technology. I'm so quick to use QR codes and things. And then I realized actually not every age bracket can do that. I noticed some people were picking up my headphones, then using their own phone, even though they weren't connected. And I noticed that if people who are sighted are struggling, the last thing I want is someone who's visually impaired coming and feeling even more out of their comfort zone, because you already have that fear and that anxiety when you're going places about, is it going to be accessible? And all these other questions must come in your head, like as they do with my dad. So as I've thought going forward to Brick Lane Gallery, is that having an iPad with headphones attached on a cord, the person comes along, puts their headphones in, one tap of a button, and it goes through my artist bio, each image in turn. So then if someone sighted does it, they can see each image and it will be pointed to, or it will have an image to match the one that they'll be looking at. And if it's someone who's partially sighted or completely blind, they'll just be able to put the headphones on, press the iPad, which will have a voiceover on it, and away they go. It's just one click of a button, which I feel is better. And there's no need for them to roam around or feel like they've got to be searching around for QR codes.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably an easier way of doing it. And I suspect in the future with things like Meta glasses and stuff and things like that, you could probably just look at an image and it would then trigger something. So you're listening to your audio descriptions. Is that something that you think might happen in the future?
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what I'm trying to change in the art world, if I'm perfectly honest. I feel like galleries can be quite intimidating. So that even when I've sometimes walked into one, I felt like I kind of don't belong. And you're not allowed to touch anything. There's rarely any context behind anything. And you kind of have that feeling of, if you don't get it straight away, you just feel art maybe not for you. But that's not true. I was like, to be honest, most artists, myself included, are probably the least intimidating people you'll meet. We just want connection and we want people to love our work. We want to be able for people to enjoy it. And I'm just trying to bridge that gap so everyone feels invited and not excluded. So, I mean, in an ideal world, accessibility wouldn't be a feature. It'd kind of be built in from the beginning. So I'd love to see audio descriptions as standard, tactile experiences, maybe soundscapes. People could go as far as even having like scent-based installations. And it could be from the way where you walk in, if you've got your Meta glasses on, or even if you haven't, you pick up a set of headphones. And as you pass, or as your headphone connects to I don't know, maybe a dongle with each piece, it starts to read off what the piece of work is in front of you, because I feel like art should never feel like a private club. It's meant for everyone.
I think that's so true. It's so true. I mean, art should be accessible to us all, you know, whether we're blind or partially sighted or sighted. What would you like people visiting Brick Lane or going to listen to the audio descriptions on your website to come away with from seeing and listening to your work?
I guess for me, it's a case of people feeling like they belong and that they can also embrace art. Like, I want them to feel the emotions that people that are sighted can feel as well. It's not just beauty for the eyes, it's a feeling. So I guess for me, I don't want anyone to feel excluded. I don't want anyone to think twice, oh well, art's not for me because I've got this disadvantage. I don't want people to feel like that. And if I can get other artists to feel this way as well, there'll be so much art out there and people will come up with different ways and different creative ideas of making art accessible.
Finally, Priya, if listeners would like to find out more about your artwork, how to listen to the audio descriptions and find out more about the show of your work at the Brick Lane Gallery in London from the 2nd to the 13th of July 2025, where can people go to find out more?
Yeah, so they can find me on Instagram, and my Instagram handle is at Priya Herrian. I've also got a website, which is www.priyaherrian.co.uk. The same Instagram handle is the same that's on TikTok. And my email and my mobile numbers available on all the social media platforms, Facebook included, and on my website. So you're more than welcome to drop me a message or even give me a phone call. I can always relay any information that's needed.
That's wonderful to hear. Well, thank you very much indeed, Priya, for chatting with me here on R&IB Connect Radio, telling me a bit about your work, your father, and why it's so important for art to be accessible to us all as blind and partially sighted people.
Yeah, thank you so much. And at the end of the day, I just want people, whether they can see the work or not, to just feel it. And if my art can reach someone's heart before it reaches their eyes, then I guess I know I've done a good job, right?
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for R&IB Connect Radio.